Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Julia Barr on Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Katie McLean, and I'm on Stardish Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Stardish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Hey, this is Sydney Penny, and you're listening to Stardish Radio. Stay tuned.
Welcome to another edition of Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is October 16, 2008. I'm your host, Joanne. Next Tuesday at a special time of 8:30 p.m., Jean Leclerc, formerly of All My Children, Jeremy Hunter will be coming on the show. And then at 10 p.m. the same day, filmmaker Gregory Jane Martin will also be on the show. So make sure you check that out. I have Tony on the phone. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Joanne. How you doing tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to tell you, right from the get-go, I'm excited to have Matt back here tonight.
Oh, so am I. So am I. He sent me a message earlier that he'd be calling in a little bit.
Go ahead.
Well, no, he's evidently he was wrapped up in some charity stuff today and some golfing tournaments, so we should be hearing from him in a few.
Well, I think you better get here quickly because I'm only going to be with you to the bottom of the hour, and you know this is my karaoke night, so I have to leave at the bottom of the hour.
Oh, that's right. What's today? Today's Thursday. Okay.
Today's Thursday. Yep.
Karaoke night for Matt. I mean for Tony.
Yeah. And I start at 9:30 down here in Chicago, so I got to be here to only the bottom of the hour. So I hope Matt can call in right away so we can get this going, you know what I mean?
I hope so, too. I do. I really do. You know the actress Eileen Davidson?
Yes.
I saw a little an advertisement for her today in ABC Soap, Soap Opera Digest. And she has a book out, Death in Daytime, by Eileen Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks pretty good. It's the summary of the book says, actress Alexis Peterson has starred in the nation's top soap opera for almost 20 years, but her career takes a nosedive when Marcy Blanchard, who's been harboring a secret grudge against Alexis, is hired as the head writer. So when Marcy turns up dead, bludgeoned to death by her own Emmy, no one is surprised when Alexis named the prime suspect. No one except Alexis, that is, who knows the must take matters into her own hands if she wants to avoid being arrested for a crime she didn't commit or become the real killer's next victim. So that looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got yourself a good winner there. That, you know, soap fans of all kinds will love not only the young and restless fans that she's used to, but also probably soap fans in general or mystery fans in general.
Well, evidently you could get this at, it's available October 7th, so it's available now at eileendavidson.org. So, anybody could check that out. That seems like it's a pretty decent book.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Now, did you get a chance to see the Super Soap Weekend Attendees? They just now updated the website, the list now, and it includes Susan Lucci now.
Yes, she's going to be there on Saturday.
Saturday only. Yeah,
Saturday only.
As far as how far in the competition she's going, because she's now made to week five now.
She's what?
I said she's just made it into week five now.
Yes. So
she's been added. Vincent Irizarry, who will start next. I think he comes back next Thursday.
Mhm.
He's just been added for the All My Children team, and General Hospital has added to Greg Vaughn and Kimberly McCullough has just been added.
Yeah.
And originally,
you know,
people thought
that
wasn't coming.
That makes sense because we were saying that the list itself just is a little asinine because how could you have Jason Thompson without Kimberly McCullough? how could you have Kelly Monaco without Gregory Voin? It was just, you know, it just didn't make sense. You know?
Obviously, they heard GH fans annoyed say, hey, where's Kimberly? She's supposed to be with Jason. Hey, where's Greg? She's supposed to be with Kelly. Come on. Come on, you guys. Come on,
mm-hmm.
you guys. Get it straight. Get them in there. And I think they probably heard them, so.
Yeah.
They got them in there.
Absolutely. That I'm pretty happy about that, considering that I am going. And because I would really like to meet Vincent Irizarry. He's somebody that I would definitely love to meet. He's on my list.
Yeah. I don't know. You and about a million other women want to meet David.
I'm telling you. I can imagine. Look, if you've never been there and the Fast Pass lines, they're just insane to begin with. So I can only imagine, especially since they announced this is the last one. I guarantee you that it is going to be the biggest one of all time that they've had.
So,
it's going to be one for the books. And you know what? I'm sorry. They're really going to regret making the decision to take it away. They are.
Yeah, I heard on some sites, especially on the SoapNet boards, that people, when they start the Soap Nation tour next year, some
mm-hmm.
people are not going to go to it. They're going to boycott it.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is, and that's all fine and good, but the thing is, this whole Soap Nation tour, it's going to be broken up into so many small events that will never capture the magic of Super Soap. And you're not going to get anything from going to see someone perform on Broadway Cares. It's not the same thing. Country Music Festival, it's not the same thing. What if you don't like country music? You really want to go sit and endure in 6 hours of country music just to go sit next to one or two people from a soap? No, I'm sorry, I wouldn't. I just, you know, that's just me, but I just think it's a little silly.
Yeah, like I said, you and about a million other people think it's silly. You know, if people don't want to, like, you know, some people might only like Broadway film, you know, Broadway musical. They maybe don't want to go there. And some
right.
people don't like country music and they don't want to go to the CNA festival. So you're basically got a double-edged sword or a triple-edged sword, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I completely agree with you on that one. I really, really do. So in the Soap Opera Digest.com poll call this week, the votes are in for favorite actresses. Alicia Minshew is number one, which, I don't know. I'm going to hold back on that one. As the World Turns, Elizabeth Hubbard, who plays Lucinda. Bold and the Beautiful, Katherine Kelly Lang. Days of Our Lives, Mary Beth Evans. General Hospital, Kimberly McCullough. Guiding Light, Kim Zimmer. One Life to Live, Melissa Archer. And Young and the Restless comes in last with Michelle Stafford. I don't know if I would have Alicia. I think that's the votes are based on just popularity and not their performances. Because I really don't think, other than getting on my last nerve, Kendall has been doing to anybody. You know, I don't really think that she's doing anything but getting on everybody's nerves. So I think it's just a popularity contest in some of these polls.
Yeah, that's what basically it is. It's basically a popularity contest. We don't go by acting. Sometimes they go
mm-hmm.
by popularity.
Right. And but I think these are supposed to be based on, I guess, the performances of the week. Favorite couple. See, here it is again. Zach and Kendall, Patrick and Robin, John and Natalie. John and Natalie haven't been together in how long?
Almost a year and a half, maybe close to 2 years.
But they're still voting for them as a favorite couple.
Because there's a lot of fans that still want them back together.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Well, I say move on and get over it, is what I say. I wasn't really a fan of John and Natalie.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there were a lot of people that weren't fans of John and Natalie either, you know. And there were, but there are a lot of fans. There are a lot of fans, but there are some fans that still want, you know, are fans of John and Natalie, even though Natalie is now basically with Jaren and John's basically with Blair, you know.
Yeah, until it comes out.
I mean, yeah, but again, like you said, it might be a pop. But like you said, it's a popularity contest.
Yeah,
it has
nothing.
Fans like.
Right. Okay, so I didn't watch any soaps today, and I'm really trying to hold back on it until the weekend. So that's why I'm not bringing it up. I saw a tiny bit of All My Children today, but really not enough to speak about. I'm excited to see it all in 1 week. I kind of saved up for it. So.
Yeah, but yeah, you should watch it this weekend. And, of course, the Tornado storyline starts today. And Bianca makes her return tomorrow.
Yes.
In a more auspicious way.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for that. That's going to be awesome to see.
Mm-hmm. Question.
Yeah, yeah. So, also, I was reading a little bit of in Soap Digest today. They have the section, Where Are They Now? They did a little bit of gossip on Robert Krimmer, who back then was known as Wortham Krimmer, Andrew.
Yes.
Reverend Andrew. This is so interesting to me. He left One Life to Live and decided to become an attorney.
Really?
Yeah. He went to college and he went to law school and became an attorney for a law firm out in California. And he said that he wanted more control over his life and wanted to be something rather than pretending to be something. And he was hungry to do something that would involve him more directly with helping people solve problems. So he compared the two, like being a cast. He cast himself in his own movie as the lawyer, and he can play for as long as he wants. He got his degree from Ventura College of Law, started out as a paralegal, and passed the bar exam on the first try. And so now, yeah, he's an attorney. And he said that if they did call him and somebody needed to be buried or married, he would definitely come back to Landview to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what that is, yeah. And, of course, you know, yeah, the tone bones well, which I say might be coined towards Tyler Morney maybe getting married.
I don't know. Gosh, I hope not.
God, I hope not either. Ugh. Make the thought of it makes me wild.
Yeah, you know, it's. I understand, like, Ron Carlovati's. His idea is that it's a whole other story because she doesn't remember. But the fact that he does is what is, like, so high up on the ick factor, you know. The fact that he knows what happened and he can sit there and do all that just really is quite annoying, and I really hope they don't run with that story. I hope to God that they find out beforehand. So,
especially before Tia gets to town.
Right, right. Well, all right. Tony, back for part two of his interview with Stardish. Welcome the ever so handsome Matthew Borlenghi to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Hi,
Matt,
how are you?
It sounds like I came in just on the tail end of some real, who did what? Who deserves the wrath of what
I was running through Soap Digest and, we were talking about Wortham Krimmer, who used to play Andrew on One Life to Live, and he left One Life to Live, and they dropped him to recurring status, and he decided that, well, you know what, forget the acting, and he went to law school and became a lawyer. And he said, yeah, so he said that he would definitely go back if somebody needed to be married or buried because he played a reverend, and you know, but that's it. You know, there's a storyline going on One Life to Live that is reaching back quite a few years to a character, Marty Sabrick, was raped by Todd Manning, and so he's got her all cooped up in seclusion. She lost her memory, and he's actually pursuing her when, in fact, how many years ago? 10 years ago, he raped her.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like it's kind of like an X Factor storyline that they're running with here.
Mm.
So, I don't know, but that's that.
Wow, that is pretty mind blowing there. Anyway,
you know,
how's your guys' night going, other than all that?
Oh, everything is great. I'm glad you got the call in. So tell me, what kind of charity event were you at today?
I was playing in a golf tournament that was raising money for awareness of a charity called Shane's Inspiration, which was formed to benefit, it was named after a child that only lived to be 2 weeks old, but had he lived, he would have spent his entire life in a wheelchair, and his parents realized that had he spent that entire life in a wheelchair, he would have been unable to participate like any other child at normal playgrounds that they don't take into account children with disabilities. So today, you know, this was a few years ago now that this happened to these people, and today there are like 19 playgrounds for children with disabilities, with like 85 in development, and they have invited me, actually, because I have a 3-year-old girl who, you know, fortunately was born fully abled, and she was invited to a play date at one of these playgrounds with, you know, many children with disabilities later in the month, which will actually be celebrating like a Halloween special theme play date. And I really want her to be a part of that so that she can grow up without a bias towards people with disabilities. I actually played. My group consisted of two of the ladies from the charity, and our foursome was rounded out by a gentleman named Sam, who 18 years ago, on the day that George Bush signed the ADA, the American Disability Act, he was in a motorcycle accident and is paralyzed from the waist down. And he rides on a cart on the golf course that has a chair that swivels out away from the cart, and he's held in place by a strap, and he lifts his legs and places them into position where they're out of the way, and from a seated, strapped-in position, he hits the ball. And
wow.
Number one, it makes me really grateful for the fact that I'm able to stand and swing a golf club and hit the ball 320 yards down the fairway, straight and narrow.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, other than that, to be inspired by a player like Sam, who obviously loves the game so much that he wasn't willing to let, you know, a life-altering event like that keep him off a golf course, it was really, really great. And, you know, it was a hell of a way for me to spend the day.
Oh, so that's great. That sounds so wonderful. And it's
really
great
amazing
that you're having your daughter be exposed to it at an early age, because, you know, children who are not exposed to different types of other children, disabled or not, when they do get around it, it becomes awkward, and they're, like, staring. And if it's not explained to them at a young age, then they'll just never understand and they'll never know. You know, they'll always just look at them as being somebody different.
Yeah, I have been making an effort ever since she was young enough to talk to point out that she's very fortunate and that she's not better than anyone. You know, it's when we see an individual in a wheelchair or on crutches or whatever, you know, I just explain to her, or, you know, maybe it's a combination of a wheelchair and homeless, you know.
Right.
I, you know, after giving the guy some money, I will explain to her that we are very fortunate, and that there are a lot of people who don't have as much as we have, or don't have all the things that we have, be it monetary or physical. And
right.
You know that it's never right to, you know, cast any, you know, sidelong, you know, disparaging glances or comments. You know, it's all about just, you know, people trying to be people.
Right.
So
when I lived in
Florida, I think it'll have a big effect on her to actually be around and play with children, and, you know, explain that, you know, they just got a bad break.
Absolutely. You know? When we lived in Florida, they did ABC did a special down there. Their affiliate WPLG did a special on Haiti and the children in Haiti, and how you know, they compared them to a lot of children in Miami. And I had my 7-year-old and my 16-year-old watch it with me, but the 7-year-old more so. They were making, no lie, like a little girl would make mud pie. These kids were literally making called mud cookies, and they were consisted out of clay and mud and rice, and they would bake in the sun, and they would stand there and sell them on the street to earn money. So my son was so touched. He was like, "Mommy," he's like, "can we go get some cookies?" And he said, "then we'll just mail them to them so they don't have to eat the mud anymore." I was like, "oh," it was just, you know, it just comes to such an innocent place, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, several years ago I did a film, well, I don't know if I would call that certain piece of filmic history a film, but I did a little movie in the Philippines, and we shot all in on location outside of Manila, and the depth of the poverty that we would drive through and be working around, and these children who had no toys, don't know what a Nintendo or a Game Boy or a PS3 or whatever the hell they are, they had no concept of what toys are, and they would be literally, you know, making toys and or objects to play with out of the mud, and yet they had the most beautiful, purest smiles. And it was so affecting to see this, that it's not about the glitz and the bling and the fancy toys and all that. It's just about, you know, what you have in your heart. And, you know, children are so easily impressionable and so easily skewed one way or another. And it's all about the way parents and the responsibilities of parents to what they really need to do to raise their children right, and not to raise, you know, the animals that are all around us. I mean, it's really, I was changed so much when I had a little child. Sometimes I feel like I'm 70 years old in some of my thinking and in some of my conservatism now, and in the way I look at, you know, these guys driving by me at 100 miles an hour, and I'm like, whoa, look at that damn fool, you know. But, you know, being that, you know, not 10 years ago, I was the one doing 160 miles an hour on the freeway.
Right.
You know, and being the total maniac idiot without a regard for anyone else's safety. But, you know, Sam that I played with today was a victim of a hit and run, you know, his motorcycle accident. And you know, how do you raise people with the kind of thinking that it's okay to devastate someone and just disappear?
Leave.
You know,
right.
So anyway, that's if you like, we can go back to talking about who boned who on One Life to Live.
I know Tony's got some questions in before, because he's got to leave at 10:30. Go ahead, Tony.
Okay.
Take it.
Much of you were just got through going into another golf tournament, but the first time when we talked to you, the first time you were heading that weekend to another golf tournament in South Carolina that was hosted by Gary Player. Tell us a little bit about that.
That was fantastic. That was really an amazing, wow, the people were amazing down there, and the courses, I've never played more beautiful courses. The cliffs at Kiwi Lake. They were just incredible. And the Gary Player Foundation is also, it's all centered around children and underprivileged children and giving children that otherwise might not have an opportunity to do certain things or experience certain things, educating these underprivileged children. A lot of the work being done in South Africa, being that Gary Player, Mr. Player, is a South African, but it's just it's far-reaching. It's a global effort that his foundation makes, and it was really rewarding to be a part of it and to be welcomed into the fold. And actually, I'm glad you asked about that, because starting this Monday, after the weekend, Monday the 20th, they're going to air on the Golf Channel, because they had the Golf Channel camera crews all around the event. They're going to air a one-hour kind of highlight show of the event. It'll be airing at 9 p.m. and 12 a.m. Eastern time, so Pacific Standard Time will be 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. This will be Monday night, and I know I happen to know that I'm in there a few times because of one 8-foot, break to the left to right, 25-foot putt that I drained. And there happened to be a camera there, and I looked up and said, "That's for charity." And also because I stuck a 185-yard 7-iron on a par 3 tighter than Gary Player hit his shot, and just kind of looked at the cameras and said, "My work is done here." And before I hit that shot, I warned Mr. Player that he might want to go off into the trees, because the ugliness of my grip on a golf club might cause him to go blind.
Oh my god!
And then followed it up with just a missile of a shot. So I think for people who are interested in seeing a highlight of the show, and also seeing that I actually have some game behind the gab, it ought to be fun.
Everything
that
you just described
an
is Chinese to me, so that's okay. I'll watch it because you're on it, but I have no idea what the hell you just said. So
okay. Let me decipher. It's good.
That's all. That's all. That's all I need. I can watch it. That's all right. That's all right.
Right on. Okay. What else, Tony?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have one more question, and then I got to split. Let's go back to your days in All My Children. Not only you worked with one leading lady, Kelly Ripa, but I also recall that you worked with another leading lady who was like 15 at the time, and she played Anne Lee on the show, Lindsay Price.
Lindsay Price, yeah.
Yeah.
Lindsay's amazing. I mean, look at her go now.
Yeah. On a hit.
Didn't she just have a show?
Yeah, she has a current NBC series called Lipstick Jungle.
That's the one, yeah.
One thing.
She's great. I can tell you that when she first joined the cast, I think she was 14 or 15 at the time.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of strange for me to be told, okay, I'm going to be marrying her on the show, and I'm going to be having kissing scenes with her.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless her. I love Lindsay, but I had, gotten the speech once before from Felicia, who was the exec producer at the time, who had hired me. And the first time Lindsay and I went to kiss, she was licking my molars in her eagerness to do it right, I took her aside. I said, "Okay, Lindsay, let me show you how we fake it. I got the speech, and I'll give it to you now." So it was really fun and awkward and very cute. And I see Lindsay at the gym every once in a while. I really like her a lot.
Aw, how cute.
She's not a successful actress, but she's also a musician, too. She brought out an album a couple of years ago, too.
I did not know that.
Really? I didn't know that either.
Yeah, you just go to her MySpace page, Lindsay Price Music. She has a CD she broke out in 2006. I forgot the name of the title, but it's on there. And she has music on there that she, like a five-track CD, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Oh, I'll have to look at that.
I had no idea.
Well, you should go check it out, Matt. Hey, listen, guys. Well, listen, guys, it's the bottom of the hour. I got to run. So, Matt, thanks a lot for talking to me tonight. And continue success on whatever you do, man. And I hope we get it back soon.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, that tomorrow and Monday are the last chances to see my my run on Days of Our Lives. So, enjoy. I bite the bullet on Monday, so enjoy it.
No,
not
no,
too
no,
much,
no.
But enjoy it.
I'll try not to. All right, thanks a lot, Matt. Enjoy.
Thanks,
I'll talk
Tony.
To you on Tuesday night.
All right, bye, Tony.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
So, what's going on with that? You're getting shot. What the hell's up with that?
Well, I mean, I knew that it was a limited run, and I couldn't talk about it in the early stages. I couldn't talk about the fact that, it was a short-term stint because they don't want people to know that ahead
right.
of time, you know?
Right.
So, I had to talk about it as if I were going to be on the show forever, and, I knew it was a limited run. I knew it was a short stint, and it was a fun character for me to play because really, where else am I going to be given a role playing an elected official?
Right.
Where else am I going to be the mayor? So it's been a lot of fun, and I enjoyed the majority of the people that I worked with, and I'll just leave it at that.
That's
but,
fine.
I enjoyed the majority of them, and I really liked it over there. And if they are serious about if Gary Tomlin is serious in that he wants me back there, and that it just didn't work out at the moment because the head writer had written ahead and was fixed on what she wanted to do,
Right.
If Gary calls me and asks me to come back in whatever capacity it may be, I'd be happy to go.
Right. Now, listen, by the way, it's off topic a little bit. I got an email today through MySpace from an actor by the name of Mark Lawson. Does that ring a bell for you?
Mark Lawson?
Lawson, Lawson.
Yeah, wait, yeah, it does ring a bell. Why?
I had him on my show way back a couple months ago. He's actually on One Life to Live now, and he's playing the role of Brody Lovett on One Life to Live, and he emailed me and told me, I guess he saw my bulletin, that you were going to be on the show tonight, and he let me know that...
We had a class together.
Yes, you did. You had a class, and you did a little short film.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he wanted to let me know that he knew you and, told me what a great guy you were. And
that's great that he got a gig on One Life. That's fantastic. I bet they have, him in all shirtless scenes because that guy's ripped.
You know what? He does some, but he plays a Iraqi war veteran.
Oh, wow.
That just went crazy. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Some postpartum, post.
That's awesome. He was a physical trainer. He was making his money as a personal trainer when we were crossing paths a bunch. And
right.
I haven't seen him in probably a couple of years now, but that's fantastic. Mark, if you're exposed to this interview right now, God bless, man. Congratulations. I'm real happy for you.
Oh, yeah. He was really nice. I had him on when he first came on the show. It was quite a few months ago, but yeah. So I thought I'd just fill you in on that little thing there.
Oh, thanks. I love hearing good news about people I like.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so,
I like hearing good news in general, but...
General. You know what I really like about you? I was watching some of your interviews on YouTube, some clips. And when you were filming Jack Rio, And you and Gregory J. Martin and Mary Kay, you were on the red carpet of, what was it, Much for Love. And the guy from What You Need TV came up to you, and he started doing this interview, which to me was just hysterical. And you just come off the cuff with these comic relief remarks. And you're just one of these guys that it's like, you know what, it is what it is, and just move on. You know, I really like the shoot from the hip kind of thing. And that's what I think you are. So I really enjoyed watching them.
Well, I'll tell you, sometimes my mouth gets me in trouble, but, you know, let's face it. I mean, we're around, unless you're, you know, a big Shirley MacLaine follower, we have one go around, and we have to enjoy it, you know, and even better if we have 6-7 go arounds and we keep coming back as different people or different animals, you know, have fun, enjoy your time. If you're given the gift of being able to speak and think and, you know, and you're live in a country where you're allowed to speak freely, go for it. You know, just respect people. You know, treat people the way you want to be treated. Have as much fun as you want in the meantime. You know.
Right, right. So, what's going on with Jack Rio now?
I don't know. We have some tinkering to do on the film. You know, I think it needs to be re-edited. You know, it could use a little more polishing. And, you know, I'm trusting it's out to a couple of distributors now that were interested in seeing it. And, you know, I trust whatever they say. You know, I invested so much time now in it that I really just want to step away from it and let other people make the decisions.
Right.
You know, I would really... just like, I'm happy with a good DVD release deal. I don't need for it to be in the theaters. I don't need, you know, I don't need big things, you know. I just want it to get out there on DVD, and I want, you know, people to enjoy it. You know, it's a good genre film, and, you know, it transcends the typical genre type of film. It's an interesting little thriller with some pretty strong performances in it, and you know, people can watch the trailer on YouTube. All they have to do is search Jack Rio trailer. And,
right, and they can just go to your website for that, which I have posted. So
they can go to MatthewBorlanghi.com, or you know, they can also go get information about it or me on IMDb.com. You know. I'm happy. Did I ever send it to you?
The trailer? No, I saw it on
No, did I ever send the film to you?
No, darling, you didn't.
Okay, well, you need to, you have my email. Email me your address and
I'll email you the address. Yeah, I'm dying to
I'll send you a DVD and you can,
I'm actually having Gregory Martin on Tuesday on the show.
Oh, you are?
Yes,
that's
I am.
Funny.
I'm
actually doing him a favor tomorrow and drive because he doesn't have a car.
Can I tell you?
Have a driver's license.
Oh, really? Well, I'll tell you a little something. It was after the show that we had a couple weeks ago. The following day, I got a MySpace request from him. But I didn't know who he was. I mean, I didn't. And I looked at the profile and everything. And, of course, I accepted him. And then I asked him to come on the show and... found out a little bit of background about him. Him and I are from the same city in New York. We're both from Yonkers.
Oh, wow.
We're actually from rival sides of high school. He's a lot younger than me, but, you know. So, yeah, we lived around the same neighborhoods, but, yeah, he's a lot younger than me, so.
Being a Yonkers yokel, he has never bothered to get a driver's license and, you know, learn to drive. So,
you didn't need
it.
Oh, gosh, you didn't need it. I didn't get my license until I was 18, but, you know.
He's 30-something now living in, or I think he says he's 26, but he's, I think, 30-something, and he's living in L.A. and depending on rides. So I'm actually going to do him a favor tomorrow and drive out to Babies R Us and pick up the crib that he has on hold for him for his little girl out there because he has a baby girl.
okay.
Yeah, so I have a couple of big cars, and I'm going to go out and do him a favor and pick up his crib and deliver it to wherever it needs to go to.
Oh, okay. So now next week when he comes on the show, you should call in and just pull a little joke on him.
Nah. you can just tell him. So you know, you it wasn't enough that Matt acted in the film. You made him pick up your daughter's crib for you too, huh?
I most certainly will do that now. I'll definitely pull on him for that.
Yeah, if maybe I will call just to you know.
Just rag on him.
Just
you know,
break
I
his
mean,
balls a little bit.
You know, I had a couple of people that were on from One Life that called in on each other, playing little jokes or whatever. People like that stuff.
I call, it's the same number I called tonight?
Uh-huh. Same number.
All right. All right. So will you also send me an email to remind me about that, that's
of
Tuesday?
Now, do you need a secretary? Because I'm available. No, I'm only kidding. I'm teasing you. You have no idea how many people I send reminders to because they just need it. But I
yeah.
have more time than I can you can imagine. Trust me. Tell me, episode of Life that's supposed to be on this month. Do you know when?
Well, you know, being that the show is on Friday nights at 10, I think I've gotten may be completely screwed in that my episode will air on Halloween night, so half the country will be out and won't be watching it.
Oh, okay. I'll Devo it.
If there's any sort of universal goodwill towards me, they'll put a rerun on that night and run the episode on November 7th.
Oh,
but,
okay, yeah.
Or 6th, whatever the next Friday will be. But
right.
I think right now it's scheduled to air in 2 Fridays from now.
Okay.
And it's a cool episode. It's a little sneaky because without giving too much away, I will say that I have something to do with a twist in the episode.
Okay.
So that's about as much as I can say without someone reprimanding
right.
me over that.
Okay, that's cool. See, my son's birthday is on Halloween, so I know I won't be here, but I'll definitely support it.
Oh, wow. Okay. How old is your son?
I have two. He'll be this one will be 8, and the other one will be 16
shoot.
In
You'll
December.
Be home by 10. You'll be home by 10. Who are you kidding?
No, because we're going to go, not so much trick-or-treating, but I'm going to take him and my other son and just my nephews to some little, how do I describe it? It's kind of like a game works, you know, like a restaurant, bar, arcade kind of thing. So, I mean,
Chuck-a-cheese.
I may be home by 10, but,
right.
you know, I may not.
Yeah,
I don't get out that often, so. Oh, I definitely will. Definitely will.
Tivo it, and all you out there listening or following online or however this plays out, if you're going to be out trick-or-treating, just set your Tivos for the show Life on NBC at 10 p.m. on
and
Friday.
I will most certainly repost it. I'll post a blog about it and send it out in my emails so everybody
Sweet.
Sees that.
It's a
now,
pretty good episode. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, it's nice
a great
to see you
show.
Guys and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. One more thing before I let you go. Now, I'm assuming that you heard of the passing of Eileen Hurley, Myrtle Fargate.
I did. Damn it, I did hear about that a few days ago, and I was really just, you know, I was bummed. I had so much fun working with Myrtle. Well, Eileen, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
Kelly and I spent so much time, even more than Kelly, in Myrtle's Den was the set,
mm-hmm.
because my character, Brian, lived at Myrtle's house.
Right.
And so it was, I was really saddened to learn of her passing, and I really would have liked to have been there in New York and, you know, at the show and able to, just hold up a cup of anything in her memory, you know. It was really a bummer for me.
Right.
You know,
right.
I was also, on another note, you know, today there was a big cast celebration at all my children celebrating the 10,000th episode.
Yeah.
And had I known that, I would have flown out there. I would have loved to have been present for that. You know, I think I played a pretty significant part in part of those episodes. And, you know, I wish someone had bothered to let me know because, you know, I owned a pretty good stake in there somewhere. So
yeah, you did, and I think that that's where, you know, the powers that be over there now kind of lacks in judgment, that just because you guys aren't on the show anymore that you've forgotten, but you're really not, and you know that would really give the fans a big kicker to see stuff like that. And, you know, they have some serious lack of judgment going on over there. When you were on, and I don't remember if we talked about this, the Super Soap Weekend. Did we talk about that when you were on the show last time?
I don't remember.
No, right?
I know that Days of Our Lives has a thing coming up in a couple of weeks, November 1st at Universal City Walk. But
okay.
I'm not a part of that. I let them know that I'd be willing to, you know, try to make my day, you know, happen around that if they wanted me. But being that I'll be dead by then, I wasn't really needed.
Right. Now, when you were on All My Children, did you ever, was Super Soap even in effect yet? No. I don't think it was. When did you left in 93,
yes,
right?
Yes, I left in 93, and I did, I was asked to travel to a few college campuses
right.
During that time, and it was really cool, you know. I was on the football field for a couple of big homecoming games. I flipped the coin at midfield watched Garrison Hurst motor down the sideline at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a blast doing stuff like that.
Right.
Kelly and I would, you know, it never failed that Kelly and I were always running to catch a plane because we always managed to be late everywhere we went.
Right.
But, yeah, I had a great time doing all those things because, you know, I mean, ultimately, listen, I'll tell you one thing that, you know, even 15 years later, I still kick myself sometimes when I won the Soap Digest Award that year mm-hmm. after having quit All My Children. You know, a month or two later, I found out, you know, I won this award. And, mm-hmm. You know, and then I was nominated for the Emmy. Also, mm-hmm. That year, and I still kick myself over the fact that I was so surprised that I won the award number one, because
mm-hmm.
I was nominated against Scott Reeves and John Hensley,
right.
And you know these were two, you know, guys who'd been around there a while. You know, I'll never forget Scott Reeves looked so sure that he was going to win when I saw a playback of it. I was
mm-hmm.
so sure, you know, I was like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
I was drinking a sip of water, you know, just, you know, trying to figure out how to, you know, be as humble as I could when you know, someone else won. And I almost, you know, I almost choked on the ice, you know, when they said my name. And when I got up there to give my acceptance speech, I was so blown away. And I became so emotional over the fact that, you know, I was so busy saying thank you to Agnes Nixon and everyone else at the show that had welcomed me into the family.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, why I started talking about things, you know, saying, you know, that many people knew that, you know, I was going on to different, you know, challenges and things in my career. And, you know, I just wanted to say thank you for giving me the shot and welcoming me to this. I never took the moment to look up and thank the fans and
right.
say, you know what, this award was for you. You know, you guys voted for this. Screw thanking so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
This is about thanking you guys. You know, I'm standing here because of you, you know. And I felt so bad afterwards when I watched a replay of the show, and here I am making this, you know, weepy, pathetic thank you speech. You know, it never, you know, I'll never forgive myself for not, you know, thanking the people who voted on the award, you know.
Right.
Because everything with soaps, you know, granted, the ratings and the viewership on daytime has gone down drastically since my days on All My Children, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, the people that are watching, you know, it's supposed to be all for them and what makes them happy, and not the whims and follies and fancies of some head writer who, you know, decides this or that. You know, if people are writing in letters and sending in emails saying, we want to see this, we want to see that, that's mm-hmm. who these writers have to bow down to. That they have to defer to the fans, because without the fans, they're out of a job.
That's right. And unfortunately, it's just not working that way now. And I think that's why they brought Chuck Pratt over to All My Children, and he's totally revamping the entire stories. You know, he's come up with some different stuff, and I had Michael Knight on the show a couple months ago, and he pretty much like begged everybody, please hang in there with us, because I know it's a rough ride right now and we're doing piss poor bad, but please stay with us, because All My Children was in the toilet.
Wow, I didn't know that.
You know,
I will tell you that All My Children looks amazing. The new cameras that they're using are fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. The
I mentioned that last time I was on. I love
mm-hmm.
the way it looks. I just I don't know anything about storylines or anything over there, but you know, I don't know what's going on over there. That's, you know, that's another show that, you know, if they asked
mm-hmm.
me to, I'd be happy to consider, you know, going back there and stirring up the pot a little bit.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, because I do think, you know, that they are revolutionizing the way daytime looks. And, you know, I think the days of the oversaturated, heavy, you know, too colorful video look of daytime is over.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
I think they really need to set, everyone needs to follow suit and go the way that All My Children has, because it really looks, you know, just a million heads and shoulders over everyone else.
Right. Any recollections as of right now of what your fondest memory of Eileen Hurley would be?
No, you know, as a young guy, you know, 23
uh-huh.
At the time, I you know, I was just having fun, so I wasn't, you know, I never really hung out and had a beer with her or a glass of wine or anything. You know, I just had my fun while there and, you know, cracked my little jokes and all that. But, you know, she was always very touching, and, you know, as an older kid now, I can look back and, you know, just remember really what a sweetheart she was. And, you know, that's not just, you know, waxing, you know, nostalgic. She really
right.
was just a dynamite, really sweet lady that, you know, I think maybe as a young guy, I may have taken for granted an
mm-hmm.
opportunity to hang out and work with such a, you know, really, really great lady. And,
right.
you know, we should all be so lucky to spend time with people like Eileen.
Right. Now, do you still stay in touch with Kelly?
Not too often, but, you know, we try. I think I may have mentioned that the last time I spoke to her, wow, it's been a while. It's October, and I think her birthday is right around now. Yeah, I think
wow.
I think her birthday just may have passed. I can't remember. I know it's October. I think it's October something, but shame on me for forgetting. But I called her from Italy over a July 4th weekend because we were going to be traveling back through New York, and we'd be in New York for, you know, the better part of a day in between flights. And I wanted to know if she and Mark and her kids would be in the city because maybe we could, you know, organize a quick lunch. But, they were out on the Hamptons for the 4th of July doing the things that, you know, they do these days out in the Hamptons, and so we didn't get to see each other. But I know that Mark was just ordained as a minister so that he could marry Howard Stern.
Oh, my gosh, how sick is that?
That's pretty funny. Kelly and mine's mutual friend, Kyle, you know, talk show type of thing years and years ago, even before all my children, they did a little cable show together. So the fact that, I mean, Kyle and I are still in touch, but then again, I picked him up when he moved to LA. I picked him up at the airport, but
right.
He called me the other day and told me that, Kelly had sent her best and all that to me and my kid and my family. And, told me about the whole Howard Stern thing, and that, you know, good for you, Mark. That is just too damn funny.
It
huh?
is.
Hopefully I never need someone to marry me a second time, because my first one will last forever. But, you know,
right.
If so, just for the kicks of it, I'll ask Mark to do the honors.
Well, when you're married, say 10 years, how long have you been married?
I'm married... we celebrated 5 years on October 11th, last weekend.
Okay. So when you hit your 10-year mark, you renew your vows and have Mark come in and perform the ceremony.
You know, that's not a half bad idea.
Yeah, see that?
That's not a half bad idea. And since...
Yeah, because I thought of it, I better be invited.
Well, I like the part that he's, you know, he's ordained in New York. So
right.
that if he comes out here and does it, then it doesn't really count. So I still have a loophole.
Oh, gosh. You ain't leaving her, so no big
deal.
No, so that's good. Well, you know, I'm so glad you came back to hang out with us and me and keep me updated what's going on. You know, you always have my support, and I'll be
Thank
posting
you.
Everything that you send. And
help
me get the word out.
Please do. You know, life coming up in a couple of weeks, unless they're kind to me and air it after Halloween.
Right.
You know, tomorrow and Monday are my last 2 days on Days of Our Lives. And if you send me an email with your address and a reminder to maybe call in Tuesday when you have... air director Gregory Martin on the phone. Maybe I'll try to do that too.
Okay, I definitely will. Listen, before I let you go, can you do a promotion for the show?
Absolutely.
You just, you know.
What do you want me to say?
You can say, this is Matt Borlenghi on Stardish Radio. I don't know. Say what you want to say.
Let's see. Can I use profanity?
I'm
kidding.
Absolutely.
This
if you
is...
want to.
Fucking A, this is Matthew Borlenghi, and I have been talking to you on Stardish Radio, the only radio as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean?
I love it. I love it. All right, Matt. Well, thank you so much, and I'll send you that information, and make sure you keep sending me yours so I can keep putting you out there.
Thanks, Joanne. God bless, huh?
You too, sweetheart. Have a good night.
You too. Bye now.
Okay, everybody, don't forget, Jean Leclerc will be with me on Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And everybody, have a great weekend. This is Joanne on Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Julia Barr on Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Katie McClain, and I'm on Stardish Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Stardish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Hey, this is Sydney Penny, and you're listening to Stardish Radio. Stay tuned.